For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Everybody say amen. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 2 tonight. I want to kind of just dwell in this book tonight. And in chapter 1, John starts out trying to convince the people that he knows what he's talking about. Look at John 1, 1 through 3. He says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we've seen it. And we testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and what we've heard, we proclaim to you also." What do we proclaim to you? What we have seen with our own eyes, what we've heard with our own ears, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and, say with me, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is first-handed information. John says, what I'm teaching you, I know to be true. I don't think it's true. I know it's true. Have you ever heard this fantastic God story and you hear it, somebody tells you, you go, that's so cool. Yeah, it happened to my niece's cousin's husband's son. And you go, oh, really? I don't know if I buy that or not. Pastor Rod Jones and I are writing this book. We're writing two editions, the first edition God Stories, the second edition God Stories. And so I'm writing the God Stories, and then Rod is writing the stuff around it. And I'm having to go back and relive all these God Stories, and I'm going, oh my gosh, these really happen. These defy explanation. We've got 100 God Stories we're working on. 100 stories that defy explanation. I had a crazy God story 2 days ago. Whoa! But I won't tell you about it. I'll just move on. You don't want to hear it. This Jesus appeared in my bedroom, basically. What it is, and you have to forgive me, my zeal for the Lord sometimes gets out of control. And, you know, the last 3 weeks, I have taken on 80% more workload. I work 70 hours a week almost all my life. I was getting it down to 40, 50, and I'm back up to 75 now. I've taken on all this responsibility. And I've been trying to help Vegas get a good start right now. I've been over there trying to work with them, get a good start on what things are going. And we went over and did a bunch of crazy stuff, Pastor Doug and I, and now I'm back in Baco. But I went in from Vegas to help the Ventura campus Sunday night. And so I left Vegas, drove 5 hours, got into Ventura at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now listen to me closely. I used to tell you guys that when you're anointed to do something, it's easy. And for years, I told you I drove to Las Vegas back and forth every week I did it, every week. And some of you said, I don't know how you do it. And I said, well, you can't do it because you're not anointed. I'm anointed to do it. Well, I hated that drive back Sunday night, hated it, going through the L.A. basin. And I got into bed at about 12:30, and at 4:30, I was wide awake. And that's been happening quite a bit lately. And I'll tell you the conversation going on in my head, because this conversation was from God. And it was telling me, said, you're going to die. If you keep doing this, you're going to die. You can't live this way. And the conversation went on and said, every person's heartbeat has to have rhythm. If you don't have rhythm in your heartbeat, you'll die. Your heartbeat is And you can't do that anymore. You might have done that when you were 45 years old. You can't do this. And so I went on, and I heard God. For 2.5 hours later, Todd turned and going, he says, you're losing rhythm in your life. You can't live this way. You don't want to die. You don't want to live this way. And no joke, I laid there, and it was 6:45 or whatever, and I thought, it's time to get up. My phone goes off. Nobody's name, just a phone number. And here's what it said. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. Why die before your time? Is that crazy or what? That's just what that's what I was tossing and turning and thinking for 3 hours. Why, Ron Vietti, why die for your time? Avoid all extremes. You don't know. My wife always says, see, anybody like me in the house, I don't know moderation. Either I'm all in or I'm all out. Anybody like that? I'm not going to eat one stupid Krispy Kreme donut. It's six or nothing. I will just stay away. If I go in, I'm eating six. That's just the way life is for me. We were coming back from Vegas to Ventura, and I said, man, you know, I'm kind of trying to be a vegetarian, and I'll tell you more about that when I do my health class, but I'm trying to be. But man, I said, I've been wanting an In-N-Out burger for a long time. And I told Debbie, I said, Debbie, just one burger won't be that much. Okay, that's all I want, one burger. You have water in the car, yeah. So I go through and I said, what do you want? She says, I just want a piece of bread. I said, well, I'll get you a whole burger and I'll just eat the rest of your burger too. So that's two burgers. And would you like something to drink? Yeah, milkshake, please. You want fries with that? Why not? Throw them in, large fries. But that's the way I'm made. I'm either all in or I'm all out. Let's either do it or let's don't do it, you know. Anybody like me or is it just me? Am I the only one in the house? Well, I got a few weirdos out there, okay. But see, for years, God has had a prophet or prophetess with me. He hasn't let me operate without him. I had Charlie Garcia and Tasha Alejandro for decades. Tasha, what a prophetess she was. How many remember Tasha Alejandro? She gave me visions and stuff that changed my life. One day she came up to me and said, I saw you in Mexico, and you were standing by three big pots. In one pot was fine ground flour, and the other pot was cornmeal, and the other pot was dough. And you were at the back, and there was a hole in the last container with the fine ground flour, and it was leaking out of the bottom, and you were sweating, taking the flour that was leaking out of this hole and putting it back in the top, and taking it out and putting it back on the top. She said, that's all I was told to tell you. You will know what it means. I knew right away. Fine ground flour represents the sacrifices of God, and the sacrifices of God today are men and women. And God said, Ron Vietti, you're spending all your time with the new converts, the fine ground flour, while the cornmeal and the dough is going bad on you. You're not putting them out of ministry. And she was so instrumental in my life. I believe in something called the transferring of the anointing. I believe that. When Tasha and Charlie died, God put two more people in my life just like them. One of them's a younger lady here. She's about middle-aged young lady. And another one is another older man. And God did that. Every time a big giver leaves, God brings another big giver in to keep us okay. Every time a building contractor is helping us and he leaves, God anoints another one to come in. That's just what God does. If you're new here, who are you representing? Who are you taking the place of maybe? Maybe you've been sent here to take the place of somebody. 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha and Elijah is just one story of several. But Elijah has been told by God that he's going to take him home. And Elisha, his protege, is hanging to him like glue. And every city they go to, Elijah looks at Elisha and says, go home. Stop following me. He says, I will not stop following you. Goes next to him, go home, and the prophets come out and say, don't you know that God's going to take your master away from me today? He said, no, I'm not leaving. And finally, Elijah goes, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, I'll tell you what, when I go up and I'm taken away, if you see that happen, then you've got it. You got the transfer of the anointing. And if you don't, then too bad. And of course, he did. He got the transfer of the anointing. It's pretty cool. Back to the idea in 1 John. He said, my God stories are all first-handed information. I'm not telling you something that I don't know to be true. And I want you to know, as your pastor, believe me when I say again, this is redundant, but if the Bible was proven to be false, it wouldn't faze me a bit. I know who I've walked with for 45 years. I know him. You can't take that away. These God stories and the stuff that I'm sharing, this is first-handed information, man. This isn't coming from somebody else. We're not living on somebody else's God stories. We're living on our own. God is real. He's real. He's real. Let's go on to chapter 2 now, and let's look at verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, hold on a second. Why is he writing the things to us in this chapter? That we may not sin. Huh. And if anyone does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I want you to see two things here. Number one is, he says, the things I'm writing to you tonight should motivate you not to sin. Now, we need motivation to not sin. Some of you, bless your heart, I'm afraid some of you think, well, I'll just go ahead and sin and I'll confess to the Lord and forgive me and I'll just go on. I can kind of have my cake and eat it too. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. I can just sin and ask God to forgive me and move on. I can just ask God to send me, forgive me, and I can wait and have my cake and eat it too, my cake and eat it too. Here's what it says. Well, before it says, I'll share some with you. I was asked some time ago to go to a youth conference and to preach to a bunch of youth. And I didn't know later, they chose me because they thought I would go and preach at these kids, hellfire and brimstone. Man, Pastor Ronald, give it to them. Oh, I threw a curve at them. I went in and told the kids, here's the advantages of living for Jesus Christ. They weren't real happy. I wanted to motivate the kids to live for Jesus Christ. I wasn't going to come in and pound on them. And in this text, this is exactly what John does. If you go back in chapter 1, you'll find out. He's already talked. In verse 1, he's talking about eternal life. He says, you've been given eternal life. You don't want to mess that up. Eternal life, what I tell you a while back, remember the lawyer, the expert in the law of Moses came to Jesus and says, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And he wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about the life in here and now, and I proved that to you. Because Jesus said, well, you need eternal life, or you want eternal life. How does the law read to you? He says to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy, two places in the Old Testament. I took you back there to show you that both of those passages were about the here and now. They were not about heaven. Very plain in those texts. So that lawyer, some way, he was looking around and said, man, I've seen people that have this life with God. I've seen people, man, that are exuding God, and they're hearing God, and they're praying, and things are happening. I see this life. What do I have to do to have that life? Now, sin will mess that up, that life with God. And in verse 3 says, we have fellowship with one another, and our fellowship's with God. Sin will mess up your fellowship. I would be really, really afraid to live in sin. You say, why? Because I need to hear God all the time. What if my child was in danger and I need to hear God and I need to pray at the right moment? If I'm living in sin, it says that sin doesn't take your relationship away from the Lord necessarily, but it breaks your fellowship. I need to hear God all the time. And then verse 4 says, the joy of the Holy Spirit will be full in you. And so he says, because of those things and more, you don't want to live in sin. Now, he's insinuating here that sin interferes with those things. Some of you, you know what an awesome life you could have? You know how much your life would change if you would just deal with that ongoing sin in your life? Be through with it. Just be through with it. Oh, my gosh. Peter Marshall told the story about the mountain dweller who lived high up in the mountains above a little village in Austria on the eastern slopes of the Alps. And this town was known for these springs of water way up in the Alps, and the streams flowed down to the city, and the city had a beautiful river that went beside the street right down through Main Street, and it was beautiful. And so they hired this mountaineer that lived way up in the Alps. They never even saw the guy much, hardly at all. They hired him to keep all the debris out of those mountain springs up there so everything would be clear down below. And he'd remove all the leaves and the mud and the branches. He would keep stuff clean. After a few years went by, and the town was known by tourists. It had swans in the lakes, and kids would play in the rivers, and rivers would run the mills and everything. It was just crazy. And a new young city council came on, and one day one of them was going through the books and saw the cost for this guy, and they said, "Who is this mountaineer anyway? We never seen him. We don't know who he is. Who is he?" And they said, "We don't need to pay this guy. How do we know he's doing anything? Probably nothing. Let's fire him." And they fired him, and nothing happened for a few weeks and months. And then autumn rolled around, and he noticed there was kind of a brownish-yellow tint in the water. Another while went by, and now there's some green scum on top of the water. And another months went by, another year, and all of a sudden the water was brown, and it was muddy-looking. It was ugly, and the swans left. The tourists began to leave. Some of the factories shut down, and the water was this terrible stink and stench, and some people started getting sick, and they realized what they had done wrong. They needed to hire this guy back. And that's just what sin does to your life. Sin's like the pollution in the stream. And when you get everything right, the Holy Spirit will continue to take the debris out. He'll have you at church, man, and you'll hear a sermon and you'll get the debris out. And he'll keep it out and keep the water flowing. Yes, okay, all right. Well, I know that. It's sin, okay. But I want some instruction, see. How do I get this in? Some of you here tonight, obviously, or some of you on the internet, you're living with ongoing sin. I'm talking about ongoing sin. You know that one you cannot. You just can't. You can't deal with it. You've tried, and it keeps coming back like an ugly three-headed monster. And you've tried and tried and tried. You can deal with any kind of sin, drugs, porn, whatever. Three easy steps. Number one, confess your sin. Tell the Lord, "I agree with you. This is wrong." And then what you do? Daily ask for strength over that. And number three, put something good in its place. If you do those three things, there isn't any sin you won't whip. None you won't whip. Confess your sin daily. Don't stop. Every day, "God, give me strength, give me strength, give me strength." And then put something good in its place and you will be free from, I guarantee you. John says you'll be blessed if you don't sin. The second thing he says here in this verse, he says that when we do sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. Now, let's get this straight. As Christians, we sin every week, but we don't practice sin. We're free from that ongoing sin. Do you know the difference? There is a big difference. Let's look at the word advocate in the Greek. It's parakletos, which is one of the words for the Holy Spirit. It's intercessor, comforter, and one called upon to help. It's one who pleads the case of anyone before a judge. Jesus is my advocate. He's my lawyer. You got a problem with me? Talk to my lawyer. You say, "You know what? You're going to pay me back. I guarantee." "Oh, you want to talk to my lawyer about that? You're an idiot. You want to talk to my lawyer? I don't have to say anything. Talk to my lawyer." Now, a good lawyer makes somebody feel comfortable. I would imagine a lot of you could tell me better than probably I know. Bless your hearts. You've had lawyers a lot. A lot of you have been in jail a lot. Let me ask a question. How many of you in here have been in jail? I'm with you. I have too. Hey, that's a lot of us. No, let's do better than that. All of us have been in jail. If you're not ashamed, stand up, because I'm with you. I've been in jail. Whoa, that's over half the congregation. They may be seated. God bless you. Congratulations, because you beat the system, didn't you? You're out here and you're saved now. Jesus loves you. You're forgiven. You've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. Is you really been in jail? Yes, I've been in jail. What do you think? God calls somebody to pastor this church that hadn't been in jail? Takes a convict to know a convict, I'm telling you. Isn't that great? A bunch of ex-prisoners in the house. Presbyterian. I think we came to the wrong church. You guys really fooled me. I didn't know that many of you have been in jail. That's half the church. I love it. I'm so proud of you guys. Romans 8:28, my God shall cause all things to work together for good for them that love him and called according to his purpose. I've always said, the city of beggars will ought to pay me to keep you guys on the off the street and keep you saved. This church could do some damage if they weren't redeemed. I was talking to somebody the other day, man, 20-inch biceps, nose bone, karate expert, muscles big, huge, and then her husband came in the room, man, he was something too. I have an advocate. An advocate stands between the judge and the defendant. And then he encourages you. A good lawyer does. We've got this. They can't make anything stick. Have you heard Jesus say that lately to you? We've got this. They can't make anything stick. You're okay. You're in my hands. Now, that is a perfect description of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our advocate. I don't know about you, but when I sin, I feel horrible. Horrible. And I need someone to encourage me and give me confidence. And God uses people to do that. My wife always encourages me. I went to her several times. You men, I hope you have this kind of wife. I went to her and said, you know what? I've sinned, Debbie, and I just feel bad. Could you pray for me? Dear God, my husband loves you, and you know. If we, guess what we're starting Sunday? I have confessional booths. Well, not really booths, but I have, you'll be a big sign, and we have people trained for you to confess your sins to. I'm leaving here, that's Catholic. Oh, wait, no, it's not. No one can forgive you of your sins except Jesus Christ. You go to him. But look at James 5:16. Look at James. Therefore, confess your sins to who? No, say it again. Confess your sins to who?
One another.
Louder.
One another.
Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. In fact, you pray, righteous person accomplishes much. Now listen to me, I'm not going back Catholicism. Listen to me. I'm not going back Catholicism. You don't have to confess your sins to any man. Most of us won't. We'll just go straight to the Lord. But there are times when you're having a hard time dealing with it and you need someone to pray for you and agree with you in your confession and then pray over your healing and take authority over spirits. And that's going to happen. There'll be a line here and a line here for the rest of the church's life. And the people up there are elders. They're trained with their wives. We had an elder and their wife are leaders and their wives, I should say, and their wives. And you'll come up and say, man, I just haven't been. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do this every week, but there are times. Do you all know those times? I probably had 8 times in my life where I've had to say, somebody pray for me. I can't get over this. I need to confess it to someone. And they're going to be well-trusted people. Then they will take authority over spirits or whatever. They'll pray over your healing and might give you home and say, go, and here's what you need to do. Is that okay? That's scriptural. You can't say it's not scriptural. God uses people to encourage you. I went in this back office one day. We were here, and Doug Lohman was on staff. And I went in one day, and I had done some stuff that I just wasn't happy with myself. I felt like I was sinning a lot. I was losing my temper. I wasn't this and that. And I came one day, and I just took a lamp, and I threw it on the floor, man. And Doug said, what's the matter? I said, I quit. I said, I've written out my resignation. I quit. God made a mistake when he chose me. I'm not a pastor. I get angry easy. And I just got angry that day over something. I felt like God couldn't forgive me because I kept losing my temper. I was like Moses hitting the rock. And Doug said, let me pray with you. I said, no, you're not praying with me, Doug. I am quitting. I'm through. Don't even bother to pray for me. Here's my resignation. Okay, I'm going to sign that. I'll sign it in just a second. I just run to the bathroom real quick. Okay. He's gone 15 minutes. He comes back and I said, did you go pray? Why? That's because I changed my mind while you were gone. And I don't want to resign. God uses people. He's so good. Now listen to me. See, some of you, when you think of sin, you just think of bad things. You know, pornography, drugs, and getting drunk, and shacking up. But one of the definitions of sin is missing the mark. And when you're a new convert, God puts the stack of hay real close where you're shooting at, and you hit it pretty good. But as you grow in the Lord, He moves it back further, 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 further. And you're going to always miss. Because the older you get in the Lord, the more He expects out of you. And you're always going to sin. You're always going to. Look at 1 John 1 and 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. I was in counseling years, decades ago, and I asked this couple, I said, right now I want to confess our sins. Let's confess our sins. And they looked at me and they go, what do we confess? I said, your sins. We don't know that we have anything to confess. They didn't get it. If I ask you right now to confess your sins, if you ask me, oh, God, forgive me for my self-centered spirit. God, forgive me sometimes for my lack of appreciation for what you do. Lord, forgive me. I confess sometimes I'm hypocritical. Lord, I confess sometimes that I don't have love for other people like I should. And I confess, Lord God, that sometimes I say things that should not be said. And God, I don't pray like I should, so I could confess all day long. That's why I need a Savior. How about you? If I could do this right, would I have a Savior? Would I need a Savior? Some people don't need a Savior. How many of you need a Savior? Boy, I do. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 2. And He Himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want you to see two things here. The word propitiation means to appease someone's anger. It's to bring reconciliation to someone who has a reason to be mad at you, to get reconciliation with them. Sometimes people say, man, the God in the Old Testament looked like he was pretty mean and mad all the time and angry sometimes. He was sometimes, but Jesus fixed the problem. Jesus died on the cross. Became a propitiation. He resolved God's anger. Did you all understand that darkness can't fellowship with light? It's like two opposite ends of a magnet. Darkness can't fellowship with light. See, it's not so much that God wouldn't want to fellowship with heathens and non-believers as much as it is He can't even if He wanted to. God is holy in nature. It's who He is. And God is light. And God is love. And He can't fellowship with darkness. It's two opposite ends of a magnet. You can't get two opposite ends of the magnet to fit any way you want. They repel each other. Now, that's why I believe, this is my opinion, I believe salvation is more of a command than it is an invitation. Be born again. I believe God wants every man and woman on the face of the earth to be born again. So they can live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And He's made it possible to be born again. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus became a propitiation for the whole world, it says in Scripture. He became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Everybody. Wow. Of course, some people will tell you, well, the word all doesn't mean all. I get so tired of that. Yes, it does. It doesn't take a kindergartner to know that. It does. And I know what they're talking about. All is a selective group of, the selective group is mankind. That's the good news we're called to share. Or tell all of our friends, our neighbors, and loved ones, you can have a relationship with God if you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. And we must model that relationship. Can I get a little convicting for a moment? Why would anybody want what we have? I hope you can answer that. What is it that we're modeling on a daily basis that would make other people go, I want that? I hope it's happening. I hope it's happening. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 is, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Let's look at this word keep, because it's very, very important. The word keep here means to guard from loss or injury by keeping an eye on. If I had to give this word keep a definition, it would be to hold in high esteem and obey the best you can. I might sin and fall short of God's glory, but I hold his commandments in high esteem. I don't keep them perfectly. But it says here that if you don't hold God's commandments in high esteem, if you don't think highly of them, you cannot be born again. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you obey them perfectly. It means if you don't hold them in high esteem. I have people who will come up here tonight maybe that is caught up in pornography and you're caught up in drugs and alcohol and you're up here weeping and you're here because you hold God's commandments in high esteem. You know that's not the way to live and you want off and you're keeping God's commandments because you hold them in high esteem. Important. Really silly illustrations, but you know, I have some chickens up at the ranch when I lived there. I always had chickens and I have some up there now. And when I lived up there, I was always watching my chickens. I'd look at them 8 times a day to make sure no mountain lion or bear was getting in there, and I kept my eye on them all the time, and I was guarding them. That's this word here. I was guarding them because they're important to me. Do you understand what this is saying? Because I used to read that, and if you don't keep his commandments, he doesn't love you. And I don't keep them all the time, Lord. I guess you don't love me. No, it means hold in high esteem. You wouldn't be here, most of you tonight, if you did not hold God's commandments in high esteem. You wouldn't be here. You do hold them in high esteem. Come on, man. We all sin. None of us are perfect. If you want to be humble, look at Matthew 5, 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. When's the last time you didn't resist an evil person? Whoever slaps you in your cheek, turn the other one. Ouch. Do not resist an evil person. Okay, whoever slaps your cheek, turn the other one. Okay, next one. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat too. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him an ass of you and don't turn away. Give him whatever he wants to. Can we go home? I don't like those verses. Anybody else not like them? I don't like them. That's hard to do. I like that jacket. I want that jacket. Okay. Here, you can have it. I'll give you my other one, too. Hit you. And then they hit that one. You just knock the snot out of them because it doesn't say any more after that. It says turn the cheek one time. It says hit you one cheek, turn. That doesn't say what to do after that. After that, it's on, baby. It's on. I turn the cheek one time. I ain't got another one to turn. That's the way I see it. You know what I really think? I really think if somebody slaps you in one cheek, you turn the other one, I don't think they'll ever slap you again. And of course, this is spiritual in its significance. It's spiritual. But do you get the idea? Love your enemies. Pray for those who insult you. Rejoice in trials. I need a Savior. You know one of the worst things that can happen to a person is you become self-righteous and think that you got it together. You pass up a traffic accident and don't pray for those people, you probably just missed the boat. If you didn't share your faith a couple times today, you're a pathetic sinner. I'm a pathetic sinner. You understand what I'm saying? We have a Savior. We need to. When we come here, we just have the best worship we ever, because we're rejoicing in our Savior. I can't save myself. I can't do it right. Today, or is yesterday? Yesterday I prayed. I said, God, I'm so upset with myself. When I try to do my best, I still miss the boat. Anybody with me? Are you with me? You know what you're talking? We just don't cut it, do we? We don't cut. And if you think you cut it, that just means you didn't cut it. And if you think you cut it, then you just sinned by thinking you cut it. There are some people that really, really think that they're pretty right on. I know I'm not. It's only by God's grace that I sit on this stool tonight. Yeah. Look at verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Again, does not hold these commandments in high esteem. If he doesn't do that, he's a liar. Man, I like the way John doesn't beat around a bush, does he? Yeah. See, the reason he says that is when you walk with Jesus, your nature's changed. Look at verse 5. We got to go. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in him. See, on Sunday I'm trying to go 30, 35 minutes. I've told everybody that preaches I want them going shorter on Sunday. But tonight I got 8 more minutes left tonight. So let's see how far we can go. We're longer on Wednesday night. Look at verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So if you abide in him, now wait. You got to get this, okay? You can't read these verses fast. It says, he who says, I'm abiding in the Lord. I'm in my devotions every morning. I'm praying. I'm abiding. Whoever says he's abiding in the Lord, he ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Isn't that our goal? I mean, Jesus caught a woman in adultery. Caught her in the very act. And they drug her to him. And what did he do? Did he whip her and chew on her? And he said, you got to have 6 weeks counseling. Can I give you a little secret? 6 weeks of counseling won't help anybody if they don't want to change. You're wasting your time. You know what Jesus did here? He did not ask her to confess her sins. He didn't ask her to sign a card. He didn't ask her anything. As far as we know, she never even spoke. He said, no one condemns you, go and sin no more. Yeah, he didn't make her pray anything. See, if you respond to the altar call, when you respond to an altar call and go back there, that's just the first sentence of a paragraph of a book. That's the first sentence in a paragraph. If you go back there and go through everything, accept the Lord as your Savior, get down and cry and do all that, if when you go out, it doesn't mean a changed lifestyle, that didn't mean anything. You don't go back. That's not the fire insurance room where you get fire insurance. I believe in that. The reason we have altar calls is because we want to ask the Holy Spirit. All you altar call people be listening to me. Sometimes we might need to go in there and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Go and live for Jesus. That's all we're going to say. Don't say another word. Go live for Jesus. Because what you do after you leave there means if you're saved or not. If you don't do anything after you leave there, you're just as saved. You might as well not waste your time to go in that room. What am I supposed to do? When you get saved, what I would do, I'd go home first and I'd do a house clean and throw everything out that wasn't pleasing to God. Yeah, that means him too. If you're not married, join a Bible study group and tell all your friends, I am now a Christian. I now serve Jesus. Be bold, bold, man, not ashamed. Did the lady caught in adultery turn to God? We have no clue. No clue. Jesus was compassionate and truthful. He said, no one condemns you, sweetheart, but go and sin no more. Do you see truth and compassion in that? He had both. What did Jesus do when his friends couldn't pray with him for 1 hour? Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he asked his friends, man, could you pray with me? Could you hold me up? And they went to sleep on him. Did he write them off? No. He said, let's go. We'll look over it. Let's go. Let's move on. A boat was in the storm, began to be troubled by the winds and the waves, and Jesus used his authority. We're supposed to walk like Jesus. When was the last time you used your spiritual authority? Vegas is different than here. Sunday, we had some bad guys, pimps, showing up. They show up the first service Sunday, causing a little trouble. They said they'd be back. And I said, not on my dollar you won't be. And I said, in the name of Jesus, if those men set foot on this property today, I bind them, Lord, and I command every devil to be out of them. I place angels out there. They will not come on these grounds and cause problems today. I come over the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, and and they didn't show. And they weren't coming to get Jesus. Using our authority. Pharisees, what did he do with them, man? He withstood them. What did he do when he saw sick people? He laid hands on them. What did he do when he was interrupted? He made ministry out of it. Do me a favor. Do what I do. No one ever calls my phone and say wrong. They don't ever call me and say wrong number. I go, no, it's not the wrong number, maybe. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Can I pray with you about anything? We want to be like Jesus. And I've got to finish this real quickly because I got 4 minutes. I love it. I got more time on Wednesday night. Jesus walked in the Spirit. He said, I have to go through Samaria. He walked in the Spirit. When's the last time you walked in the Spirit? When was the last time you go, I'm doing this only because I feel the Spirit's telling me to do it? I'm talking to you right now only because I feel the Spirit told me to do it. I'm giving you this right now only because I feel the Spirit told me to do it. Only because the Spirit. When I prayed for that seal that got up, I was rehearsing that story again. It was crazy. Still been there almost dead 2 days, and 5 minutes of prayer, it's down back in the beach. You all know the story. But all day long, it was like, man, I got to go. I got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. Man, when you pray and get in with the Lord, expect Him to put thoughts in your mind. Expect Him to put thoughts in your mind to call somebody on and on and on. It's crazy. Okay, Lord, help me get through this real quick. Verse 9. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old... Wait. What happened to that verse? I like the other verse. Was that 7? Yeah, 7 and 8. I skipped them. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Verse 9. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light's already shining. It sounds like he contradicts himself here. He says, I'm not giving you I'm giving you an old commandment. It's old. It's not new, it's old. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your neighbors. This is old. I'm giving you something old, not new. But then again, it is new in Him. In other words, in the Old Testament, you got to do this with your own might and own power. In the New Testament, you do it through His power in Him. It's brand new. It's a brand new look. And then verse 10 and 11. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. The number one sign of maturity in Christianity is love. And love is not that gushy, gushy, you know, how you doing? Oh, I love you. Love is saying, what do you need? You might be a very sober person, whatever, but whatever you need, I'll make sure you get it. And then 11, the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has... So if you hate your brother, that means you're in darkness. You don't have a clue what you're doing. Don't come up and tell me, Jesus told me to do this. If you hate your brother, you're in darkness, so you don't know what Jesus said. You can't hate anybody. Is everybody with me tonight? I'm sure you are. I'm in a place tonight where I can't tell you one person I hate. I can't tell you one person I'm not forgiven because I can't do it. It's beyond me as I abide in Christ. Debbie and I had a little argument last week, and I got kind of upset, and I got in my car, and so I got in the car. I said, God, I am so sorry. And God told me, He says, don't tell me you're sorry. Tell her you're sorry. Then you come back to me. And I had to call her on my phone and say, I am sorry. And she's real gracious. She forgave me. And then the last 12 through 14 that we're going home. I am writing to you little children because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I'm writing to you fathers because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. And I've written to you children because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you've overcome the evil one. I want to close with this because I got 3 minutes. Those are three classes, three levels of Christian growth. The first one is little children that just know Abba, Daddy, God. And they know their sins are forgiven. And they're on their way to heaven. And they're finding out about angels and demons and when I was a new Christian, I got 12 teenagers in my house. We listened to worship music every night. We'd talk about angels and God and prophecy. Oh, we're saved. We're going to heaven someday, and I can't wait. When is heaven coming? When is heaven coming? That's one level. A lot of you are at that level. Some of you have been at that level too long. To go to the next level, you've got to be responsible and say, life isn't going to stay the way it is. This is the second level. The young man level is a level where he says he's overcome demons. And he has the power of God. And the young man, this second level, is a place where I abide in God and I have the power of God and I've overcome the evil one. This is the guy that knows how to pray and throw. He says, man, this marriage is not going to stay bad. My kids are not going to stay unsafe. That's the second level. And the third level is the old man, the father, who just says, I know God. That's my vision. Remember, chewing on the blade of grass on the porch. And people come all over and they give up and I just know God. What's your problem, sweetheart? Well, you know, I got this thing. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Pray. What? Pray, saith the man of God. Go, 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 go. The old man, the father in the faith, that's someone, they've already seen the demons. They've already called on the angels. They've already stood by dying beds. They've already done all that, man. And now they just know God. I got a long ways to go to get there, but I'm going to get there. And someday I'm going to retire and I'm going to sit on my porch up in the mountains and you're going to come. You're going to say, there's the man of God. He's on his porch. And you're going to walk up and I'm going to go, that'd be cool. My mind gets away. I can take your 10 minutes. I'm getting into the role right now. I'm kind of getting into it, you know. God's told me to start coming back on some Wednesday nights. I've got to come back and start teaching the word, some verses, scriptures. And so you will still have Pastor Jim doing Wednesday nights. Me and Jim will start swapping a lot of Wednesday nights, but I feel like I'm supposed to come back. And when I come, I'm going to bring a chapter like this, and we're going to dig into it, and you mark your Bible up. And so I'll try you back next Wednesday night if I can. We'll do some stuff. Did you get something?
Yes.
Was it worth coming?
Yes.
Was it worth the dime you put in the offering plate?
Yes.
Should we take the offering again? Maybe you can put in what it was worth, you know. Just kidding, not there. I don't do that, but I just did it, but I don't do it. Father God, thank you for 1 John chapter 2.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.
Here is our King. Here is our love.